As Brenda said, we are starting a new series of messages where we want to kind of lean into, like practically, how do you have an experiential, personally intimate, interactive relationship with God? That's what we want to lean into over these next quite a few weeks. And so near the end of my talk, I'm going to be dialing up this little booklet. Hopefully you got one of those when you came in the door. We've got a place where you can download them online, also some little videos to watch. And so I'm going to be getting there in just a minute. Let me kind of set the stage for that. We really do believe that we are meant to have a really personal, interactive relationship with God. It's not just some things that we believe. It's not just a church service that we come to. It's not just kind of friends that we have that are also followers of Jesus. I think all those things are good and helpful. But our real life is meant to have a real relationship with God the way that we would have a relationship with anybody else. That you get to know, that you share things with, that you talk about kind of mutual interests, that you develop affection for one another, that you actually spend time face to face, that we're supposed to do that. The rub is, like, how do you do that? Like, how do you have a relationship with the God whom you can't see? And even sometimes when you read the Bible, do you ever get to places where you're reading the Bible and you're like, that just makes no sense to me. I don't get what's going on there. Like, how do you relate to a God through an ancient book and through like practices that don't really maybe fit our culture today? We just want to get really practical about how that works. And there's some really specific reasons that we want to do that, that we want to kind of press into this with you. And I got to open up my little document. I've got some of those reasons listed right here. One of the reasons is because life with God is a whole lot more than just believing the right things. I think what we believe actually makes a real difference in our lives. What we think is true makes a real difference. It's really good. And relationship with God is more than that. It's more than just ticking the right boxes, like in a true and false quiz at the end of life. Did you believe the right stuff? There's more to it than that. Also, honestly, we have difficulty in our culture today, especially today, being present with one another. We have trouble being present. If we have trouble being present with one another, we have a lot of trouble being present with a God whom we can't see. We have trouble with that. Like, for instance, have you ever been somewhat embarrassed in one of those moments when somebody was talking to you and you weren't really paying attention? And then they ask you a question, and you have to ask them to repeat that. Like, what did you ask? And they're like, are you even listening to me? Have you ever been in one of those moments where you got caught? Or maybe you were offended because you're trying to talk to somebody, and they're just like totally lost on Instagram. Like, you're just like, they might as well not be in the room. They're not actually present with you. It's like, it's amazing. I was doing a bunch of research for this whole series of messages. You know the average number of times we check our phone each day right now? Like in our culture, the average number of times that we check our phone. If you're a boomer, I'm at the end of the boomer. I'm like a young boomer. If you're a boomer, it's something like 30-some times a day. 30-some times a day. If you're a Gen Z or millennial, you're in the around 85 times a day. It's hard for us to be present with the people that are actually right there in front of us. You listen to one another's quotes right there. I saw some of you that are Gen Z millennial look at me like, how can you only check it 30 times a day? Like, are you an idiot? And then I watched some of you older folks go, they check it 84 times a day? Like, listen, it's like, it doesn't matter what that number is. Here's the deal. It's hard for us to be present. We want to learn to be present. And when I look at the life of Jesus, like, I don't see the same level of anxiety and insecurity and even anger in him that I often see in us, that I see in the mirror. I don't see that in him. And I think there's something to actually learning how to be present with God the way that Jesus was present with God that could actually really help us grow in our relationship with him. Like, think about his life for a moment. Like, he was on mission. We have these stories where he's on mission. He's going to a certain place, and then he gets interrupted. He gets interrupted by a blind guy who's calling out to him, and Jesus just pivots and spends time with that guy and actually brings healing to his life. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and there's like amazing stuff that's going to happen in Jerusalem, culminating with this crucifixion and all the stuff going on there. He's on his way, but he's passing through this little town, and he notices this short guy hanging out in the tree who happens to be a tax collector, and he reorients his life for that day to go have lunch with him and hang out with him and bring healing to his life. He does the same thing. He's on his way to a friend who is dying and at that point has died. And he gets interrupted by a woman who has this 12-year-long condition. And he just like pivots right there and spends time with her. There's no anxiety in his life. He's probably the most present individual who's ever lived on our planet. Present to his own life and what's going on with him. Present to what God's doing in the world, and present to other people. And because of that, he's free to bring mercy. He's free to bring confrontation. He's free to bring grace. He's free to bring love. He's free to bring healing to other people in a way that's amazing. And here's the deal. I think our discipleship to Jesus, our following Jesus, is actually meant to produce that same stuff in our life. It is. And so the reason that we're pressing through this topic for the next like 12 weeks is because we really want to grow in this as individuals and as a church community. I think that we can learn from Jesus how to be like him. And honestly, I think it's vitally important today that we do that. Here's a quote from one of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard. It goes like this: "The world can no longer be left to mere diplomats, politicians, and business leaders. They've done the best they could, no doubt. But this is an age for spiritual heroes, a time for men and women to be heroic in their faith, in spiritual character, and in power. The greatest danger to the Christian church today is that of pitching its message too low." I actually think the discipleship to Jesus is meant to produce an astounding depth of character and spiritual power in our lives. It's not just a thing that we do, like going to church or small group. We're reading scripture. It's actually meant to produce something in us. And so that's one of the reasons we're pressing into it. And to take it a step further, I think it costs us a lot to not do this. Listen to this quote. Dallas goes on to write this: "Non-discipleship, not aligning our life around Jesus, costs abiding peace." He says it costs a life penetrated throughout by love. It costs a faith that sees everything in the light of God's overriding governance for good. Kingdom of God is the thought there. It costs hopefulness that stands firm in the most discouraging of circumstances. And it costs power to do what is right and withstand the forces of evil. In short, it costs exactly the abundance of life that Jesus said he came to bring. Like, here's the deal. What we see in the life of Jesus is this kind and quality of life that he actually lived, that's impossible to live without actually inviting the presence of God into our lives and becoming aware of what God's doing all around us. There's this kind of interactive, experiential, personally intimate, like real relationship with God that we're meant to have. And what we want to do over the next quite a few weeks is actually teach ourselves, train ourselves, enter a formation process with the power and presence of God that will help us to live the kind of life that Jesus has invited us to live. So I believe that Jesus can be known, and it's really important that we get to know who Jesus is. That's the personal presence of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let me just start kind of at the beginning. Let me kind of lay a foundation, and then I'm going to get really practical today. The foundation starts here. The scriptures reveal to us a God who longs to be known by those he created. That he longs to be known by us. So if you go back to the very beginning, Genesis, go back to the beginning of that story, in Genesis 3, verse 8, there's this passage that we kind of just read right past because it happens to be part of the passage where the very first man and woman, Adam and Eve, sin. They disobey God. They rebel against God. He had told them, you can eat at any tree, any fruit in the garden that you want to eat. Everything is yours. This is paradise. There's this one thing, don't do. And they go, well, what if that's the best thing and God's withholding the best thing from us? Like, what if that's the cherry on top and our life won't be fulfilled without the cherry on top? And so they go and they grab that, they eat that, they break relationship with God. And then here's what we read. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So just pause from the story a minute and think about this. Somehow in paradise, God regularly walked with the humans. He spent time with them. Like, what would it sound like? God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Like, he longs to be with those that he had created. He created the whole thing, and then he makes himself present to them and spends time with them. But because of their disobedience, because of the sin, because of the rebellion, because of that lack of trust that they have in God, the presence of God in that moment sparked fear and anxiety in their heart, not, oh my gosh, like our Father, our Heavenly Father, God, the one who made us, is here to spend time with us. Like, wonderful, right? Instead, it was just the opposite. They hid from him. And honestly, the story goes on. We've been hiding from him and from one another ever since. Relationship with him after that moment is incredibly difficult, incredibly hard. And what you read in the Old Testament, starting in Genesis 3 and moving forward, is that God is the one who identifies the problems. God is the one who sets about to fix the problems. And then God is the one who constantly speaks a longing to be with his people throughout all the historical books of the scripture. All the prophets speak of the same thing. Even the Psalms that some of our songs come from speak of this longing for us to be with God and for him to be with us, for him to be with his people, for us to be his people. Like, there's this longing that goes throughout the scriptures in that. So the scriptures reveal this longing for that. And then in the New Testament, we see God intervening and once again walking with us on planet Earth. In the New Testament, that's what the incarnation is all about. God, Emmanuel, God with us, Christ, Jesus is born. And this is what the Apostle John writes about that in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God again is walking on the planet with his people. He's again doing that. And what's really interesting is when he does that, look at how he invites people to be with him and spend time with him. Because that's what this whole thing about. My whole presupposition in this is that Jesus can be known and we want to spend time with God and we'll experience transformation in our lives when we do. Look at how Jesus invites people to spend time with him. This happens right in John 1, verse 35. The next day, John, and this is talking about now John the Baptist, hanging out with a couple of his disciples, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." He's basically saying, "Hey, you guys, this is the guy who's the Messiah. This is the one who's been promised about through all of history." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they got up and followed Jesus. Like, they were John's disciples, and they're like, "Dude, it's been great hanging with you. If that's the Messiah, we're following him," right? Turning around, Jesus saw them following and said, "What do you want?" I don't know how you picture Jesus doing this. I picture him saying, "What do you want?" Right? He probably was way nicer than Michael, right? It might have been a, "What do you want?" You know, but you know, however it was, it would have like maybe like struck some anxiety into their heart. Like, all of a sudden, here's God looking at them directly. "Hey, what do you want?" You know, the whole Genesis thing comes back again. And they say, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Look at his reply, "Come and you will see." And so they went and hung out with him for the day. Like, that was his reply. "What do you want?" "Well, we kind of want to see where you're staying." "Well, come hang out." And honestly, that's Jesus' invitation throughout the Gospels. You read just a little bit further, the next day, verse 43, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me. Come follow me. Come spend time with me." And what we see in these guys' lives, as they spent time with Jesus, as they experienced the personal presence and power of God in Jesus, their lives were changed. They were changed. As they experienced the fact that God really does love them and welcomes them in, their lives were radically reoriented and they became filled with something that they could give away to other people. Like, this whole thing began to change for them. Spending time with Jesus, they learned, is spending time in the presence of God. Spending time with Jesus is spending time in God's presence. Just like back in the early part of Genesis. And then they hear these promises from Jesus as they're spending time with them. He promises in John chapter 6 to be their bread of life, to be the sustenance that they need for life. He promises in John chapter 7 that he is living water. And not only would it satisfy their thirst the way nothing else would, but through them, rivers of living water would be available to other people. He promises in John chapter 10 that like they would have life that was like the most fulfilled life possible. Like by hanging out with him, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have the fullest kind of life. And then I love there's a promise in John 15 where if they abide in him, their lives will be incredibly fruitful. In John 15, 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is a picture of intimate friendship. It's knowing God's presence and power in their lives. It's like every minute of every day, it's staying attuned and attentive to what God is doing in them and in the world around them. Jesus is telling them, I'm not just a doctrine. I'm not just a philosophical approach to life. I'm not just a religious idea. I'm a person that you can know and that you can encounter. And again, as these friends of Jesus, who then became disciples, which is just another word for an apprentice. They attached themselves to him to learn to live the life that he was living. As they did that, the love of God transformed their lives, and then it transformed everything that they did. It transformed their occupations. It transformed their relationships. It transformed their marriages. It transformed the way that they parented. It transformed everything about them. And that began to transform the whole of the Roman Empire over the next 200-300 years. It's absolutely amazing. So discipleship to Jesus isn't only spending time with him. The other thing that they did is they began to put his words into practice. They began to actually obey the things that he was talking about. Remember back in the garden, the big break in relationship came because we didn't put God's words into practice? And now these disciples, not only are they invited to spend time with him again, but now they're putting his stuff into practice. Look at John 15 just a little bit further. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. He's saying, I'm deeply loved by the Father, and I love you that same amount, and I want you to stay in my love. How do we stay in his love? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love. Like we don't break relationship the way that our very first parents did in Genesis. That we take him at his word and we put his word into practice in our lives. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Think about it for a minute. What would it look like for you to experience complete joy? Like complete joy. Joy that like satisfies every joy bone in your body. Like there's no more joy left to experience. Like even if the Vikings beat the Saints, right? That would bring me some joy because I just love it whenever the Saints lose. I know, I'm really broken. Right? But here's the deal. The joy would be lost the next week. Or maybe we'd have it back again as we play the Packers, right? But it's always like a tentative joy. There's always like a next thing, and then it's fading. What would it be like to have full, complete joy? Jesus says that like he actually experiences that in his relationship with the Father, and he's inviting us to experience it, and it doesn't come from getting our own way. It comes from aligning our way with his way. That's what being an apprentice to Jesus is. That's what being a disciple of Jesus is. We're to remain in his love, and the way we do that is do what he said to do. And the fulfillment, the joy that we long for, is found in that little equation. So as we get practical here, let me give you two big pointers that we often mess up. Just two big things about real, honest, authentic, experiential, interactive relationship with God that we often mess up. The first one is this. This is a process. Relationship with Jesus is a process. It's not one of those really quick meals that you can buy that's like ready in 5 minutes. It's not one of the really fun meals that you can buy, get delivered to your house and buy, and you get ready in 15, 20 minutes. This is one of those meals that takes like multiple days to cook. Have you ever had one of those meals? It's like a grandpa or a grandma meal where it takes like multiple days to get the meatballs and the sauce just right. It's got to simmer for a long time where you don't get all the flavors. It's like that kind of a meal. One of the things I love to do right now at this season of my life is one of the ways that I Sabbath, that I rest, is I make sourdough bread. I make like a loaf a week, and I eat about a loaf a week. You could probably tell. It's wonderful bread. Like, I love it. For those of you that aren't on carbs, it's like, you need some healing. Get back on carbs. Like, sourdough bread's amazing, right? But it takes me, like, once I decide to have a loaf, I have to start like 3 days before. Because I got to mix it, you know, I got to get it just right, I got to let it rise, I got to, you know, mix it and get it, let it rise and fall a few times, and then I hide it away in the fridge for about 48 hours to get a nice tangy flavor, and then I pull it out, let it rise again, and finally bake it, and then Brenda's right there. She's like, when's that coming out of the oven? Because it's amazing, like in the first 15 minutes after it's out of the oven, and like, I'm talking, like, it's a process, it takes time. If you actually want to become aware of God's presence and grow in your relationship with Him, this is not an instantaneous thing. Like there's a process to this. Here's a great definition I like. Spiritual formation is a process of learning from Jesus how to live in and receive God's love for us. That's the first step. We live in and receive God's love for us. And then we let that impact and change us to become more like Jesus. And then we begin to overflow and influence based out of that place to the world around us. That's my hope and prayer for us, that we would be learning from Jesus how to actually live in and receive God's love, that that would change us, it would reform us, and that then we would begin to be able to give that away to other people really, really well. You see, all of us have been formed by something. All of us are formed. All of us are formed by the way that we grew up, the cities, the country that we live in. We're formed by the things that we believe, the books that we read, the movies that are our favorites. We're formed by things. We actually have like a worldview, which is like a set of lenses that we view the world through. And some of the assumptions that we make about things are true and really good, and some of them are kind of whacked. Right? And we see that. It's easy to see where somebody else's worldview is messed up. It's harder to see where your own worldview is messed up because the lens is so close to you. And so we can watch other people and think, that's weird. They're doing that really wrong. They're hurting themselves. They're hurting their family. They're hurting their children. They're hurting their marriage. They're hurting their parents because of their worldview, the thing that's going on. And what spiritual formation, I'm inviting you into a spiritual formation process where God identifies some of that that's broken, and in His love, in His presence, He begins to reform you. He begins to transform you so that you begin to actually see things from His perspective, and you allow that to impact and change your life in really good ways that then begin to finally affect everybody around you because of the way you're doing that. Does that make sense? This is a formation process. It doesn't happen fast. It doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens slow. I'm going to invite you to adopt some practices into your life that you won't see the results of for quite some time. But at one point, 3 or 4 months down the road, if you actually do this with me, you're going to wake up and go, hey, wait a minute. I'm viewing this thing differently. Oh my gosh, something has changed in me. And I think I like it. Like, that's the thing that we're going to go into. So the first thing, like, it's a formation practice. Secondly, this is about training, not trying. This is important. This is about training, not trying. So much of what I see in Christian literature and on YouTube and all that is often about trying harder. You just need to try harder. You want to be more like Jesus, try harder. You're sinning right now, well, just stop sinning. Right? You're depressed? Well, stop being depressed. Get up and put a smile on your face. Right? If you've ever experienced depression, you can't get up and put a smile on your face. Your willpower does not defeat depression. And you can take some medication, and I'm not saying medication is bad, but often what that does is that just levels everything out, and you're not experiencing the joy. What if God could actually come and bring some healing in that part of our life? And we take the medication to help us get there. Like, you know, the whole thing is really good. And so, like, I think that this is more about not trying harder. This is about training ourselves. Think of it like this. If I wanted to run Grandma's Marathon this year, what day is it? It's June, like 20th this year, June 20th, way to go. You're training, right? There's a difference between her training and me getting up on the 20th, sticking on a Nike Just Do It shirt, and going out to just do it. I would just do something, that's for sure. I don't think I would do it. Well, it depends what you define it to be. Depends what the meaning of it is. That just went way back in culture. Sorry if you have to Google that one. So it's different. Training is different than just trying, right? Training is, I'm going to take some little steps, right? And I'm going to grow in this thing, and I'm going to develop in this thing. And you don't measure success when you're training after the first day. You don't like go out for a run after the first day and go, okay, how much was better than that the yesterday? Well, I did get off the couch, so that, I guess that's better, right? But then, like, if you try to do the whole thing at once, you try to get all the way to the end, you'll just kill yourself. Don't be the person who goes into the gym and lifts every weight. Like, you just don't need to lift every weight, like, at the beginning, right? Like, this is about training. And training takes time. And you don't measure the result in the first day. You don't measure the result in the first week. You don't measure the results in the first month. Like, you get several months into this, and then you go, oh my gosh, I have changed. This is good. That's true with anything in our lives. And so I'm inviting us into a formation process that's actually more about training. There's a great passage in 1 Timothy 4 where the Apostle Paul's writing to Timothy, and as he's pastoring a church, and he says this, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales." What he's saying is there's a whole bunch of stuff everybody's arguing about. Ignore that. Rather, train yourself to be godly. I like that. He doesn't say, Timothy, just be more godly. He says, no, train yourself. And then he ties it to physical training is of some value. But godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present and life to come. In the same way that we go into physical training to run grandma's, there's a training that God is inviting us into that Jesus actually lived that produces godliness, a devotion and an alignment in our lives towards God. It'll produce that in our lives if we go into training. If you want to have a real experiential interactive relationship with God, I'm inviting you to go into training, a formation process. So, the thing that this formation process builds in us, number one thing we want to build is an awareness of the presence of God. I think God is moving and working. The Holy Spirit, the personal presence of God, is moving and working all over our planet today. I actually think it's the best time to be alive. It doesn't mean that everything's perfect. No. We humans have seriously messed up a lot of stuff. But God's on the move. He's on the move in your life. He's on the move in the lives of the people that you're around. And he's on the move in our world today. And we often are just totally, completely clueless. We're unaware of what he's doing. What we want to do is build an awareness of what he's up to. Here's a quote from one of my favorite Catholic writers. "The struggle to experience God is not so much one of God's presence or absence, as it is one of the presence or absence of God in our awareness. God is always present, but we're not always present to God." This first tool that we want to give you is a tool about developing an awareness of the presence of God. God is available to be known. Let's dive into learning how to get him known in our lives. So we've developed this little booklet. Actually, I'll tell you about this in a minute. And some resources on our DuluthVineyard.org website. It's DuluthVineyard.org/life. And if you want to go to that at some point, what you'll find is a download version of this booklet, a link to these messages that we're doing for the next 12 weeks, and a couple little videos from a friend of mine. So this booklet came from a friend of mine. His name's Andrew Smith. He pastors the Vineyard Church in Belfast, Northern Ireland, the Belfast City Vineyard. I met him in 2002. He was about 28 years old. I was over visiting over there, and we were doing like some work with the church helping them. The guy who was the senior pastor quit that weekend. He just like, without notice, he just kind of up and quit. And Andy and his wife Harmony were interns. And they had come from the U.S. She had grown up like on the mission field with her parents. Like, they both loved Jesus. They wanted to be in Ireland, felt like God called them there. They're part of this church. They'd been there for 1 year. The senior pastor quits on this weekend that I happened to be there. and pulls me aside and said, "Hey, would you mentor Andy?" And I go, I guess if he wants it, you know. And Andy's like, "No 28-year-old should ever be the senior pastor of a church." And I said, "Well, I think God's put you in this place, or the thing might not live." He steps up. He's still the pastor. Now, many years later, he wrote this little booklet as a way to just help people in his church have a real relationship with God and become aware of his presence. He showed me this about a year ago. I loved it. It's a really helpful little tool. And so I wanted to make it available to you guys. And Andy and the whole church is praying for us this weekend as we kind of dive into something that they've been doing for a while. So that's where this little comes from. On our website, you'll also find 4 or 5 little videos where Andy just walks through these steps and gives you like a really helpful way to just think about each of the steps that are in here that I'm going to walk you through really briefly in just a second. Does that make sense? It's cool because Andy's over there. He's got like a little bit of an Irish accent. He's a kid from Michigan, and he's walking around in Northern Ireland and sitting by a cool lake and just talking about becoming aware of God's presence. The videos are like 5 minutes long and just walk you through some stuff. So here's the stuff. What I'm inviting you to do is to set aside some time every single day. You might start off with one time slot, like 10 or 15 minutes. I grew that pretty quickly to 4 or 5 time slots because I realized I want God's presence in my life every minute of the day. And so I like grew that pretty quickly to a few time slots. But I'd start with like 1 or 10 or 15 minute time slot. Your first step is kind of decide when. Like, when do you want to do it? For some people, early morning is best. When I read through the scriptures, like early morning is the time that most of the humans spend time with God to start out their day, to kind of align their day in like a really good way. And so first thing in the morning, like, or maybe for you, you're like a late riser and you're rushing off to work and you want some time like later in the day to do that. Awesome, do that, right? Pick a time that works for you. Eventually what I did was I picked morning, right before lunch, right before dinner, and right before bed. And like 4 times, I grabbed those little time slots from the Jesuits. They call them examines, but I just use the same basic thing. And I just do that 10 or 15 minutes each time and do that throughout the day. So pick when and then pick where. The first thing that happened to me when I picked all those time slots is I set alarms on my phone. It would go off. I'd be really busy at 11:45. Like, I don't have time to do this. And I just ignored the alarm. And I thought to myself, I should either turn off this alarm or start doing it. Right? And I decided, I'm not going to turn off the alarm. I'm going to let the alarm continue to annoy me. And honestly, for some of those time slots, it took me like a month of being annoyed by the alarm before I started doing it. Well, cool. Do that. Right? But begin to set aside some time. If you want to become aware of God's presence and what he's doing in your own life, if you want to be transformed by his love, you have to set aside some time. And what I discovered is this time is way more valuable to me than Instagram. Who knew? It's remarkable, right? And then maybe I go right to Instagram to share what I learned. Or maybe I don't, right? So set aside some time. So decide when and then decide where. Early in the morning, I have a special little place in my house where I go sit every time. And I put the things I want there. So I have a little booklet there. I have a Bible there. I like to take notes. And I would recommend you're going to want to take notes. You're going to have some thoughts. You're going to want to write them down. And so have some place to write them down. Since most of my life is lived with a screen, a computer screen, or, you know, my phone or something like that, I decided to go totally analog for this part of my life. I actually have a little Moleskine notebook and a fountain pen. It doesn't go more analog than that. And I really like my fountain pen. Like, I draw with it. I write with it. It's really fun. So like, I look forward to it, right? So have something like that. And then I have like my favorite cup of coffee, a little cup of espresso that we're going to teach John how to enjoy after, you know, a little bit. But so like that part of it's going on. So you decide when, you decide where, you have something to take notes. And then don't try to limit yourself to a certain amount of time for each of these like little 6 steps. Don't limit yourself to a certain amount of time, right? Just kind of press into it. Let me introduce you to the steps. If you have this little booklet, flip over to like number 1, I just kind of went through, prepare to meet with God, prepare to spend some time with him, right? Number 2 is receive the gift of his presence. The first thing, let's start with what we really want. What I really want is more of the personal presence of God in my life. So I just want to prepare to meet with him. And I want to quiet myself down, so I want a comfortable place. And I get comfortable, and then I start with something that I just call a breath prayer. that I learned from some of the old mothers and fathers of the faith back in the first couple centuries. Just a simple breath prayer. There's a few of them written down right there. One of the ones that I love is on the bottom of that. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. As I'm inhaling, Lord Jesus Christ, as I exhale, have mercy on me. Like, I don't know about you, but you and I are in desperate need of God's mercy. Our culture, our government, our world politics. Oh my gosh, we need the mercy of God. The mercy of God is God not giving us what we deserve. When I look in the mirror, I need God to not give Michael what Michael deserves, because I would just be destroyed. And so would you. What he gives us in place of that through Jesus is his love. And so when I'm saying, God, I need your mercy, like I'm asking for God's love in my life and in our world today. And I just quiet my heart and mind by breathing that in and breathing that out. And you'll notice when you get to the sections of this that there's time for silence. Don't skip the silence. Don't go, okay, silence, I'm done. Right? Like, actually try to press into it for, let's say, like 2 minutes, 120 seconds. And at the beginning, 120 seconds in our culture is like excruciating. You could have checked your phone 9 times in that. I know it's really hard to turn off the phone. Like, we're going to get to that much later in this process. So you don't have to turn it off, right? Just set it in another room on silence. Put it on something that doesn't vibrate so that when it goes off, it's on something cushy like a pillow and you don't hear it. And just spend 10 minutes with God. And 2 minutes of that right here at the beginning is going to be some silence. And every time my mind begins to wander, I just pray again. Oh Lord Jesus, I need your mercy. And I just want to be, I want to begin to cultivate an awareness of God's presence. The second part is diving into Scripture. Like, spend time with Scripture. I want to receive God's word from me. There's lots of different apps. There's lots of different plans. By the way, this is not when I try to read through the Bible in a year. For me, this is not when I study Scripture and go into Greek and Hebrew, and I love all that stuff, and it's really fun, but this is not when I do that. I don't geek out on any of that. What I want to do is I just want to hear God's voice through Scripture. And so I'll pick something that I want to read, like, let's say, the book of Ephesians, and I'll just start reading it, and I might only get 2 verses in, and something catches my heart, it catches my eye, it catches my mind, and I just stop right there. And I just say, God, would you speak to me about that? When I first started doing this years ago, I actually spent a year, I was going through Ephesians, and I spent a year on one little part of a verse. Like, I just, every day I came back to it, and it was like there was more juiciness to chew out of it. It was like gum that hadn't lost its flavor yet. You just pick it up every day and chew on it some more and put it back. That sounds gross. Don't do that. But it was that kind of a thing, right? And it was where Paul is praying that we as the church would understand the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love. And I'm like, man, Paul describes God's love in all this language. And I just sometimes I feel like I have this Sunday school knowledge of the depth of it. God loves me and everybody in the world, good. Right? And there's so much more to it. I think, I don't think that's impacted my life. I don't think I spent a year just like, and I wrote with my cool fountain pen in my little Moleskine notebook. I think I filled up a whole notebook of just writing about those different dimensions of God's love and what that could mean, like in those moments, just sitting with him early in the morning. Does that make sense? That's what we're doing with the word. We're just spending a little bit of time with it. And then, and the next point is receive from God the gift, or an awareness of the gift of your own life. Like, you're a really cool human. Like, you're really cool. God's like, wired you really sweet. You can't all grow a luscious beard like this, but you're cool nonetheless. Right? Do you know what I mean? Like, receive that a little bit. Just think about how God has made you and wired you and thank him for that. And then I think about my whole day and what's coming up that day. And I lift all that before him. I've got all these appointments. Think about the things that you have to do that day that might bring some anxiety or things you don't know how to do. Invite him into that stuff. And this is often when I take time to pray for other people. I pray for my loved ones. I have a whole list of people I pray for. In fact, I have more people than I could possibly just pray for listing them out. So I have them listed out in my little notebook. And then I just put my hand on that and I pray for them all. Right? When I tell you I prayed for you, I prayed for you. Like, you're there. You're like in my little notebook. And then what I do is I pull my hand off that, and God will often highlight one or two or three names that I pray for by name. And then in the next part, where I'm moving on to, I'm receiving now his shalom. I receive his peace. I say that, God, I want to receive your peace. And there's some prayers and some things in there that you can practice. I'm receiving that, and I'm engaging in his mission, because peace, shalom in the scripture, is not just like fullness and completeness for you, but it's fullness and completeness for everything that involves you, that's around you. And we live in a world that God wants us to engage in and bring his power and his presence and the character of the Holy Spirit to bring that shalom where we go. And so sometimes in those people that I'm praying for, God will tell me really specifically, hey, reach out to this person, tell this person this, and I'll do that kind of stuff. I'm like, I'm engaging with what he's doing. Am I making sense? And then I kind of sum that up with going back to where I started. God, your presence is the most important thing in my life. And so I'm just doing that. And here's what my recommendation. Like, what if we as community, for those of you that want to, what if we just committed for the next 4 months, January, February, March, and April, till after Easter, to just begin to do this? And for you, that might be just 5 or 10 minutes a day, where we just press into developing an awareness of God's presence. If you'll do that, I think that you'll, at the end of that 4 months, notice that he has done some formation in you, that you've entered into a training of godliness. There's work for you to do. You have to set aside the time to do this, but then he does the heavy lifting. He does the transformation that you can't manage on your own. And you'll notice something really different in you at the end of that 4 months. And so I want to invite you to like enter into this with me, just with the whole Duluth Vineyard here at Arrowhead, at Eastside, like all the people that would call Vineyard their home. We want to take the next 4 months and press into this, and then we're going to give a whole bunch more tools, but this is like the first one. And so I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not asking you to stand up. I want to pray for us that God would give us the courage to do that, and I want to invite you to just pray just quietly a simple prayer of commitment to him if you want to join me in this. Sound good? Cool. Why don't you guys stand up? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we invite your presence right now. God, would you come and be present with us? And I love this time of year, Lord, that's built into our culture where we kind of evaluate the past, we look forward to the future, we think about who we want to be, and we align our lives to do that. And Lord, I ask that you would give us just a freedom, just a childlike freedom, to join with what you're doing. Some of us here today, we have a deep awareness of the presence of God in our lives, and we have a way of interacting with him that's really good and really healthy. I'm not asking you to change that. Just keep going in that. I bless that. But there's a lot of us that we're not sure like how to become aware of God's presence. And I'm inviting you to just make a commitment between you and God right now. Just make a commitment between you and him to begin to lean into that a little more. And if you don't have a way to do that, I'm inviting you to just use this really simple tool and begin the process of developing awareness of his presence. And so I would just ask you to like pray a simple prayer. Just pray a simple prayer to God and voice your commitment to do that. Just say, Lord, I want to do that. I want to lean in. I'm going to work at setting aside 10 or 15 minutes a day to become aware of your presence, to allow your love to change me, to kind of go into some training, a formation process. For some of you, it makes you nervous to pray that, because maybe you've tried and failed, you tried and didn't, things didn't work, and you might feel some nervous. I would just express that nervousness to God. God, I feel really unsure about this. I feel really nervous about it. I don't know if I can even do it. I'd just express that to him, and then express that you want to. I don't know if I can, but I want to. That's really healthy and really good. And I would pray, Lord, would you empower me to be able to follow through? If I forget to set an alarm a little bit earlier, Lord, would you wake me? And if I wake up a little too early and can't go back to sleep, God, would you give me the courage to actually just get up and try this? We want to become more aware of your presence and your love. We want that to change our lives. And so we align our life with you right now. Holy Spirit, would you come? All right, if you're on the ministry team, why don't you make your way up here? We love to pray for one another here at the Vineyard, and we'll pray for anything going on in your life. For some people, some of us aren't nearly as excited as John about the new year. And it brings some anxiety because of changes or challenges coming up. We would love to pray with you about that, about the things that are coming up in your life or things that you're unsure of. We'd love to pray with you about that. I think God, we believe that he answers prayer. And so we love lifting up that stuff to him and then watching what he does. And then some of you might be a little nervous about trying this thing. If you're making a commitment to do this with me, I would encourage you, one of the really useful tools is to come up and actually tell somebody that and get some prayer that you could, like, you'd have what it takes to be able to get up and just start spending some time with him. Like, doing it just kind of all alone isn't nearly as powerful as doing it in community. And so I would tell some other people that you're going to do that, and then get some prayer for that as you step out on that journey. And when you struggle, like you miss a couple days, like don't beat yourself up over it, but reach out to somebody, get some prayer, and then step in again. And so let's take some time to pray for one another. These guys are going to lead us in worship. Other than that, like God bless you guys, and thanks for coming to the Vineyard today. Have a great rest of your week.